All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury?
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Hurt.
The hurt may last longer than Pete Rose hopes. He's been banned from the game of baseball for life. This was a sad day for baseball and one of the game's greatest players.
Steve, I just want to apologize for what happened out there. But I had no intention on hurting you. And I feel awful for what transpired.
Mr. Osuna's remorseful. The circumstances are what they are, but at the end of the day, in the criminal court, I've said it more than once that his intention is to plead not guilty.
The NSR Media Network and Destination CPD presents Out of the Court, where the worlds of sports and law collide. And now, here are criminal lawyers Adam Goodman and Scott Callen, alongside your host, Barry Davis.
The country is doing better than ever before. We did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong. And we have tremendous support in the Republican Party like we've never had before. Nobody's ever had this kind of support.
And we have a very special episode of Out of the Court here today because we're not going to necessarily be talking about how the worlds of law and sports collide. Although many will look at what has been going on in politics as a bit of a sport. In fact, many would say it's just been a silly game. And Adam Goodman joins us. Scott Cowan is on assignment this week. And Adam, it has been, needless to say, an unprecedented year, maybe 3 years, of government in the United States since Donald Trump was elected president, hasn't it?
You know something? Canadians really care about this, too. They are fascinated by it. I can speak to colleagues and friends, and they know about all the American senators, about the laws, and we're not even living there. It's just something we really enjoy talking about.
You know, and it's not just politics, Adam. I mean, it just seems that things that are going on south of the border always seem to have a lot more interest for Canadians, even in the world of sports, right? Remember, Doug Flutie played in the CFL. No one gave a crap about him. He goes to the Buffalo Bills, and everyone loves him, right? So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the mystique of the United States. But, you're right, because the Donald Trump story is getting more play than the Justin Trudeau stuff did.
Well, people were definitely very much into the Canadian election. But the American system is just really designed to be kind of different and kind of crazy. And it's almost as though they're set up for failure. When it was originally enacted, I can see some of the thought process that who they call the founders of the American Constitution went through. But things have just become so hyper-partisan and so political that the entire purpose has basically been thrown out the window for individual partisan gain.
Yeah.
And we do see that in Canada, and I worry that Canada is slowly moving in that direction. But there are different types of checks and balances that the Canadian system has that is able to prevent this type of craziness.
Well, first of all, is impeachment even something that could be done in Canada? I mean, if Justin Trudeau really got a lot of backlash and for what he has done, could he possibly be impeached?
Well, there's no impeachment in Canada.
Okay. That's
it's an American term. It's American terminology. In Canada, it's actually a lot easier to remove either a prime minister or a provincial premier in that they are only leading because they have the confidence of parliament. So if parliament were to lose the confidence in a leader or if a leader's party were to lose confidence in the leader, then it would actually be very easy to force them out. Whereby in the United States, the president is elected directly. And yes, they represent a party, but ultimately the president is ultimately chosen as an individual. Whereby here in Canada, while in some ways we do vote for the prime minister because we know what party we're voting for, we know who the leaders are when we vote, we are really just voting for individual members of parliament or members of provincial parliament or MLAs, as they call them in other provinces. And that representative provides confidence to who leads the government. It's different in the United States in that there isn't really one parliamentary body. And yes, in Canada, we have a Senate, but that's a whole other can of worms. Their power is very much tempered. It's really one parliamentary body, and the leader has to have the confidence of parliament. Trump could lose that confidence and still have the constitutional authority to govern because he's not ruled by a parliamentary type body.
Adam, we got so many questions from our listeners, and it was all pretty much the same two questions. So why don't we kind of look at these questions and kind of answer them one by one. First and foremost, what exactly is the definition of impeachment? Because I think that we all had this sense, and maybe it was just me, but I think many others thought that if you're impeached, it's pretty much like you're fired. And maybe that could eventually happen, but what would be your best description of what exactly impeachment is?
Yes, and a lot of people assume that when somebody is impeached, they are removed from office. And if we've ever dealt with committees or other types of bodies, often you use that term somewhat interchangeably. But in the way that the American Constitution is designed, impeachment involves the lower body called the House of Representatives. And I say lower body because they're a lower house. They're not necessarily less powerful. There's three different bodies in the United States, three different governing bodies plus the judiciary. I know I'm complicating things, but that's okay. The House of Representatives has the sole authority to impeach, and they can impeach a president. They can impeach a vice president. They can impeach federal judges. They can impeach cabinet members. And what they do is they pass what are called articles of impeachment. And if you look at that from a criminal law perspective, it means that they are charging somebody with wrongdoing. So once they have been charged with this wrongdoing, they have officially been impeached. And it's happened three times in American history. Andrew Johnson, and more recently, Bill Clinton, and now Donald Trump. Once they're impeached, it becomes the job of the United States Senate to hold a trial. And the senators will then vote if, in this case, President Trump is guilty or not guilty. And if two-thirds of the senators present vote guilty, then he would immediately be removed from office.
Right. And here's the thing. Right now, of the 100 U.S. senators, 53 are Republican senators, 45 are Democratic senators, 2 are independent, right? So they end up deciding whether or not Donald is guilty. So basically, if you were to kind of use some kind of a court of law type of parallel, the first vote that we heard this week was more or less the arrest being made or the charges being laid. Now we've got the actual court case, and these 100 senators are the jury, right?
That's the way it's meant to be. It's not, unfortunately, not really how things are shaping up to be.
But in what way?
If we look at how the Constitution was designed, yes, they're supposed to be the jury because they've come out and said they're not going to be impartial. Because the Republican leadership has essentially said how they're going to vote on this before the trial is even happening. It's, if it happens at all, it's going to be a show. And most senators are going to vote exactly how we expect them to vote. He's going to be found not guilty, and he's going to continue to be president. That's the problem that we are facing right now, in that the Senate is just such a hyper-partisan body, and Trump has such control over the Republican Party that they're just not going to uphold their oath to hear the evidence fairly. They're going to vote along political lines.
So basically what has to happen, Adam, is he's going to need a number of his senators to turn on him for him, yes, to be impeached.
Yes.
Makes a mockery of this whole system, though, doesn't it? Because you're supposed to be impartial. If you're in a courtroom and there are jurors, those jurors are not supposed to have sides taken. It's frustrating to know that that's...
Mitch McConnell, who's the Senate Majority Leader, who is most extremist partisan Republican that you'll ever meet, and I think is the man who is to blame for much of the problems that we see in Washington. He's already come out and said how he's going to vote, that he's working with the White House, and he views it as a political process and not necessarily similar to a criminal trial. And this is the man who's supposed to be setting the rules for the trial. And even the Senate itself, if you look at how the Senate was designed, it made some sense. But looking at it now, every state receives two senators. And you could be a state of the size of California or a state of the size of North Dakota, which might be 50 times smaller than California. And each still only get two senators. So a state like California is very much underrepresented in the Senate. And that's the irony of American politics right now, in that most people vote for Democrats. Most people vote for Democrats in Senate elections, in House of Representative elections, and frankly, in presidential elections. If we look at presidential elections since 1992, a Republican president, George W. Bush, in 2004, has only won the popular vote once. Yet they're on their second presidency since that time.
Wow. Now, you mentioned the two other times a president was impeached. Did either one of the, I don't even remember, I should remember, but was Clinton, did he lose the presidency after the impeachment, or did he end up remaining?
No, he remained the president. No, yeah. No president has ever been removed from office. It looks like it was happening with Richard Nixon.
Yeah, but he
quit,
right?
He resigned before he was even impeached. And it was a different time. It was a different time. His Republican senators went to him and said, Mr. President, you are going to be removed from office. You need to be resign. And he did. It's just not happening with Trump, because he has such a stranglehold on the Republican Party that people are afraid to speak out against him because he'll go after them.
Right. So basically, the only way that Donald Trump is removed from office, assuming that this goes the way we think it will go, is in the 2020 election, if America doesn't vote him in, because that's when they get their say, right? The citizens will get their say in their next election.
Realistically, you got to beat him at the polls. Now, he's going to lose the popular vote again. That's certainly how the numbers look, but he might win the Electoral College again, and it's very possible. I was one of the few people that thought he had a chance back in 2016, and that's realistically how it looks like the only way. The other way is if the numbers start changing, if his popularity starts going down amongst his Republican Party base. If that happens, then the knives will come out and senators and representatives in his party will absolutely turn on him. I have no doubt about that. But there's also nothing to suggest that's going to happen.
Had there not been some of his followers that have turned on him, though, like in the Senate or in the White House? Like, we've heard.
Not really. People have spoken out against him. Certain senators like Mitt Romney and Susan Collins have been critical, but certainly not to the point where there's a suggestion they're going to vote against him in the impeachment trial. Nobody did in the original impeachment vote from yesterday. There was one representative a few months ago, Justin Amash is his name, became an independent for speaking out against Trump. And he might not win re-election because Trump is just so much power amongst a very specific base of people. And those people have been enough to keep him in power. And if a Republican speaks out about Trump, Trump starts tweeting attacks at them. And they could then lose their seat because another Republican who's more Trumpian could do what's called primary that person and win the right to represent the Republican Party in the next election. And people are afraid to do it. People are afraid of the power that he has. Now, his power is only with what we call his base. But because his base is so supportive, he's able to wield a certain amount of power. He's certainly not popular with the overall electorate. But just the way the American system is designed, he's been able to hold on to power.
Not to mention, and to get colloquial here, he is innocent even if proven guilty.
It's not a criminal court, but the evidence here is pretty overwhelming. especially with this particular circumstance of his discussions with the Ukrainian president. Nobody's really come out and say it hasn't happened. They're just looking to attack the process. And there's definitely some conspiracy theorists who said otherwise, but there's really no evidence to suggest this didn't happen. It's just attacking of the process. And the White House has obstructed the ability to even look into it more. There's been witnesses that we'd like to hear from, or not we, but the Democrats would like to hear from to try and get to the bottom of this. And the White House is refusing for them to come and testify, which only leads me to believe they're hiding something.
Well, of course, right? And I mean, I've watched enough of these types of TV shows, and I know they're only TV shows, but something like Scandal, and you realize that the president has so many people protecting him that, I mean, he could do the most dastardly thing, and somehow there'll be people covering it up.
Or do things that can't even be covered up. Back during the election, he made a comment that he could stand in the middle of downtown New York, Times Square, whatever, and shoot somebody, and it wouldn't affect his numbers. He made a comment yesterday while he was being impeached. He was at a rally, and he made a comment where he attacked a late representative by the name of John Dingell. And Don Dingell, he was the dean of the United States House of Representatives for about, looks like, 20 years. And he represented a district in Michigan for, it's looking like 60 years.
Wow.
And he passed away in 2015, and he was succeeded by his wife, Debbie Dingell. He is a war hero. He joined the Army a little bit after World War II ended, but was involved with an invasion in Japan in November 1945. And when he passed away, he received full military honors. His wife, Debbie, voted for impeachment as a Democratic representative. Yesterday, Trump, at this rally, he attacked John's wife, Debbie, the now representative, for voting for impeachment.
Debbie Dingell, that's a real beauty. So she calls me up like 8 months ago. Her husband was here a long time. But I didn't give him the B treatment. I didn't give him the C or the D. I could have. Nobody would have, you know. I gave the A-plus treatment. Take down the flags. She calls me up. It's the nicest thing that's ever happened. Thank you so much. John would be so thrilled. He's looking down. He'd be so thrilled. Thank you so much, sir. I said, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Maybe he's looking up. I don't know.
Essentially saying that he thinks he's in hell.
Wow. This is,
and how Trump was so good to him when he died and he got him all these honors for his funeral. This is what he said about this deceased representative, and because his wife voted for impeachment, that he's in hell. And he made similar comments when John McCain died, that maybe John McCain is in hell right now. If any other politician said things like that, how are the Republicans allowing this to happen, allowing him to say things like that? And that's just the power that he has.
Yeah.
Nobody can attack him because they're afraid. Certain people have, Senator Jeff Flake, Senator Mitt Romney have. And it'll be interesting to see over the next few weeks if Mitt Romney goes and does the right thing. I don't know if he will, but be interesting.
Does this all happen in front of a judge of some sort, or is this simply a vote?
Good question. Firstly, there's talk right now that the articles never even get sent to the Senate. Speaker Nancy Pelosi might hold them in abeyance, which is a very interesting procedural move, because she's annoyed because Senator Mitch McConnell, who's the majority leader, essentially, if he can get 51 votes, he presides over the rules of how this trial works. And he might try to just ram it through and turn it into a bit of a farce. So Speaker Pelosi is saying, well, I'm going to hold on to these articles and not send them to the Senate. I'm going to stop you from having a trial that's going to be a farce. In terms of presiding over it, the Constitution says for an impeachment trial for a president, it's presided over by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who would be John Roberts. But really, the rules will be set by the senators. And if it's so partisan, if the senators are going to turn it into a joke with an inevitable result, then the question right now is really, what's the point?
Well, I think we've all been thinking, what's the point since this has all happened? Coincidentally or not coincidentally, the markets were all up big time on Thursday. Do you think this has anything to do with the impeachment hearing?
No, I don't. I think the economy often runs kind of separate from politics. There are certain things that governments can do, but all of Trump's claims that this is his economy coming from his tax cuts, I don't think so.
Well, I've seen a graph. I saw a graph, Adam, that showed the states that were struggling under Obama, and they're still, and the ones that were thriving are now struggling under Trump. So, you know, he can say all he wants about how he's improved the economy, but it looks as though that he hasn't.
Well, the stocks market's gone up. There's probably less unemployment. You could still perhaps credit a lot of this to Obama-era policies. I don't really know enough about economics to really comment there. I have trouble believing it's a few things Trump's done that's caused the economy to do well, but people do vote with the economy.
Yeah.
And a strong economy usually means a president gets reelected. The last time in really modern memory a president hasn't gone two terms, George Bush Sr., he was expected to cruise to a second term. The economy kind of faltered and didn't work out for him.
It's really fascinating stuff, Adam, because I've never seen such a polarizing human being on this planet. And Donald Trump certainly is. His followers love him. They will not back down on him. And those, obviously, who have been against him will not back down on their side. There doesn't seem to be any gray in this at all. It's sad that a country like the United States is torn like it is right now. And, I mean, if I'm a betting man, I would say that we're going to see Donald Trump in office for another term. And it's sad. It's crazy to think. It was crazy to think the first time when he was elected in.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on that, Barry. I do think there's a possibility. I do think it's a bit of a coin flip. But I don't necessarily think he's for sure going to win.
But you don't think he's being impeached, right? You don't think there's a chance of that happening?
Of him being removed?
Yeah.
No, unless there's a major change in public support over the next month or two. An economic crash could do that. But I don't think anything Trump is going to do, unless there's just something out there that's so damning that nobody can answer to. But I mean, I think we've seen that, and he's still being supported.
Well, Adam, it's just a fascinating story, and it's something that we will definitely keep focusing on, and we'll probably do more on that as well. In the meantime, I want to wish you and your family a very happy holiday season and all the best for the new year in 2020, and we shall reconvene then, sir.
You bet. Thanks, Barry, and I'm sure this story is not going to be over by then.
No.
So I'm sure you listeners will have more questions, and we can talk more about it.
Absolutely. For now, though, this courtroom has been adjourned.